Around Thanksgiving is where we have a whole bunch of family visiting, and we see that reflected in our musical gifts. Thank you so much for your special music. Before we get into this morning's message, it's exciting to see our church structure changing colors. If you haven't noticed, there's some painting going on. And maybe you were tempted to think that it was going to stop. But no, the painting continues, even tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the morning. And so if you are able to, we'll be here painting and continuing as little by little, things are looking prettier. It's already a beautiful church, but these small details add up as soon we'll be needing to change the church carpet, which is a project that includes our foyer. And also, we're looking to see if of the possibility of being able to upgrade the platform so that we could have hardwood flooring. And so if you'd like to be able to do that, you can give towards that in our building fund. As we come to hear the word of God, let us bow our heads. Gracious Father, we thank you because you loved us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son. And this day, we don't need less of you, we need more of you. So we ask that you'll help us to listen to your word, to heed your spirit, and to be drawn ever closer to you. Speak to us, O God, in Jesus' name, amen. A couple days ago, we observed what is typically observed in this country, known as Thanksgiving. Maybe you were able to get together with some family and friends, or maybe it was a quieter festive day. Whatever may have been the case, have we not received the goodness of God? Has God been good to you? What's interesting about this phenomenon is that it may be that you were at a meal on Thursday, but if you were not, there is a fellowship lunch following our church service today, of which we invite you to stay on by. And if you were anything like me, maybe around the meal on Thursday, you took an opportunity to give thanks to God for his goodness, for how he has blessed you and his faithfulness. But it's also possible that around that table, you were crazy about the people around that table, or maybe, just maybe, there could have been someone or someones that you were not that crazy about, but you had to eat with them anyway. And you rise above that stuff because this is a family time, is it not? Although the part of scripture that we'll be focusing on this morning wasn't necessarily where Jesus went to Thanksgiving dinner, because that's a much more modern practice, not necessarily biblical per se, but the Bible does say that Jesus gave thanks. And if indeed Jesus gave thanks, well, what in the world did he give thanks for? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. This is where we'll be focusing predominantly this morning. Luke chapter 22. Verse 17 and on. I know you're used to me putting something on the screen, but not so today. Luke 22, verse 17, the Bible says, "And he took the cup and gave what? Thanks, and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves.'" Jesus gives thanks to the Father because he's about to eat his last supper with the 12. Why would this be his last supper? Oh, that's because the greatest purpose for which Christ had come was about to be fulfilled. Jesus was about to die to pay the ransom for mankind. Jesus was about to die. Jesus was about to pay the ransom and demonstrate the character of God, which is a four-letter word that starts with L and ends with E. Love. Who would be thankful about being mocked? Who would be thankful about being beaten, scourged, spit on, ridiculed, and crucified? Who would be thankful for that? I mean, I'm thanking God for another year of life at Thanksgiving. But Jesus is thanking his Father because of the symbols of his death that we're about to be partaking of that soon would be a reality. When was the last time we gave thanks to God that we were going to die? I don't see a lot of takers. Not because we're dying because of our own health conditions, but rather because we're laying down our lives for others. John chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Luke 22:18, the Bible says, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Jesus tells the 12, I won't be having this meal next year with you in person, but I'll tell you when I will have this meal again with you. When is that? When Jesus comes again. In fact, Jesus is still waiting to partake of this meal with you and I. Talk about patience. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God. No. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to be ready for his coming. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready for that day. How about you? Luke 22, verse 19, the Bible says, and he took the bread. And he gave thanks and brake and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. He blesses the bread. He gives the bread to the disciples. And he says, pass it around, would you? And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time eating without bread. I like making sure there's bread on the table. And lots of it. I'll have bread until the point I can't have bread anymore. But we have the bread of heaven. How anxious are we to eat the bread of heaven? Is this something that we're looking forward to having at every meal of the day? The bread of heaven. There was a time in which before people partook of their meal, a verse or two was read, and then they ate their meal. Two things to keep in mind here. Jesus said these words, this do in what? Don't forget. This do in remembrance. Don't forget. Don't forget what Jesus has done for you. Don't forget. Because if we remember, then we'll actually do the second thing, which is what Jesus told the disciples. He gives them the bread, and then he tells them to do what? Pass the bread around. If I forget what Jesus has done for me, I won't be passing the bread around. But if I do forget about what Jesus has done for me, I might even forget that there's even bread to distribute. Verse 20, the Bible says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. How many of us desire to have a relationship with God? Praise God. maybe if we're good enough, we might qualify to have a relationship with God. Oh, you mean it doesn't work that way? The Bible says, this is the cup of what? Verse 20. The New Testament. Other versions say New Covenant. You see, the Bible tells you and I that there's only one way that you and I can have a relationship with Jesus. And the Bible says, it's in my blood. Jesus gave thanks that he could give his body to be broken for us, broken for me, broken for you. And Jesus then gives thanks because the only way that we can have a relationship with him is through his son who shed his blood. Question. Why was Jesus' blood shed? Verse 20 gives us our answer. Is shed for you. Is shed for me. Some Thanksgiving dinner, if you ask me. Verse 21 and on, the Bible says, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. Jesus got to eat his meal, this Last Supper, with his betrayer. Oh, joy. Jesus not only knew what Judas was going to be doing, but he also still tried to reach him because he still loved his betrayer to the point of no return until Judas took his decision that was definite. I mean, how do you sit down at the table with the person that you know is going to be directly responsible for your death? I find that for me a bit challenging, if you ask me. How did Jesus do that? Well, have you ever felt betrayed by somebody? How do we treat that person after we felt betrayed? Like we have warm fuzzies in our stomach? No, we don't feel that way, actually. We find the quite opposite. We try to stay as far away as we can from them. I'll tell you how Jesus was able to sit at the same table with Judas. He had to have a forgiving heart towards Judas. Regardless of whether or not Judas would seek that forgiveness and receive that forgiveness, that's a different story. Jesus had a desire to forgive. How do I know? He desires to forgive you and to forgive me. You see, John 13:27, the Bible says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do what? Do quickly. Jesus was quoting an Old Testament law that said, if you make a vow, you're to follow through on it quickly, rather than just saying, oh, I'm going to do something and do the opposite. Jesus was telling Judas, honor your word, but still was inviting Judas to heed the Spirit, to repent. Verse 28, the Bible says, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. Maybe this past Thursday you ate with someone at the table who you were deeply hurt by. How did we move forward from that? I'll tell you how. We were forced to forgive them. You see, there isn't going to be some magical thing that happens with people who have offended us. There's only one way that you and I can move forward with those who have hurt us, and it's forgiveness. But, Pastor, I remember our foster kids would tell us that. And I would remind them, but, Melanie and Julian, you only have one but. and you're sitting on it. You see, I'd like to say that I'm crazy about forgiving those who have hurt me. But why was his blood shed? Oh, that's right. Because I'm the sinner. That's right. You're the sinner, and we're the sinners. Luke 22, verse 24, the Bible says, it depicts the epitome of our condition as humans. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Why are they bickering at the table? Because they wanted to know who was going to be first in Jesus' supposedly earthly Davidic kingdom that he was soon to establish. You want to take a guess who was on Jesus' left side at that table? Oh, that was Judas. Guess who was on Jesus' right side? John, the beloved disciple. You see, James and John's mother had already asked Jesus about this matter, but apparently it wasn't clear in the disciples' minds that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. You see, Judas's blood was boiling because he was coming to understand that Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. So maybe following this Jesus guy was for nothing. Judas was about to get nothing to show for his desires. The position he hoped to get, the prestige he hoped to receive, the riches, nothing, nada. And then Jesus proceeds to teach them what true greatness is. Verse 25, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve." Verse 27, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat or to eat, but I am among you as he that what? Serves." You see, Jesus gives the disciples the theory of what greatness is, and now he brings it home. In John chapter 13, the Bible says, "After that, he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." You see, Jesus waited. He waited because not only was it customary that there be a servant who would wash guests' feet, but it wasn't that long ago in which there was another gathering similar at Simon the leper's house, in which also feet weren't washed there either, except Jesus' feet were. In fact, it was a woman, Mary, who had bought a very expensive alabaster box. She breaks it, wanting to make sure nobody knew what was happening. And she anoints Jesus' head and his feet. And she proceeds to wash his feet in her tears and then to dry his feet with her hair, as some Judas was in some righteous indignation of what was transpiring. Jesus waited to see if indeed the disciples had learned their lesson. And no, they were still on the merry-go-round. And so Jesus, he took the basin. Put water in it. And he proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. Who was on Jesus' left side? Judas. Guess who got their feet washed first? Judas did. And at least for Judas, it was nice clean water. And I don't know if Jesus exchanged the water, put new water in, tossed out the bad water. I don't know what the custom was. But just in case it was the same water going around until all 12, guess who got to have their feet washed last? John. I wonder if that's why part of him being called a beloved disciple, he got it from having his feet washed with such dirty water. But Jesus gets to Peter, and Peter says, "You're not washing my feet." Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." Now that Jesus made things clear, Peter says, "If that's the case, don't just wash my feet, wash my head, wash all of me, because I need to be cleansed." Jesus takes the form of a servant and humbles himself. The one whom angels serve. The one whom angels served. I'll say it again. The one whom angels served. Served us. I'm still understanding Jesus' humility, because my humility is far off. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20:28. You want to know what gets in the way of us serving others? What gets in the way is that I have trouble being humble. That's what gets in the way. Why do I have trouble being humble? Because of my pride, my pride. Desire of Ages, page 646, Sister White says, "The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf." Now listen to this. "And with earnestness to do service for Christ." Last Wednesday, I was a bit overzealous with my meal. I know the Thanksgiving's on Thursday, but on Wednesday I was overzealous with my meal. How so? Because as I was eating away, I came to quickly realize that that bite had a whole lot less food and a whole lot more fork. And I bit the fork. I said, "Ouch." And then I eventually looked in the mirror like, "Oh my, there used to be a part of a tooth there." And I said, "Wonderful, because on Thursday, that's when we get together to take family pictures. How am I going to take family picture like this?" Though that is humbling, that's not humility. When Jesus girded himself with a towel to wash the dust from their feet, he desired by that very act to wash away alienation, to wash away jealousy and pride from their hearts. I'm so glad that there isn't any alienation, jealousy, or pride here. But you know, sometimes it has a way of slipping out. Greatness. Who's going to be the greatest? I'll tell you what greatness is. The only greatness is the greatness of humility. I'll say that again. The only greatness is the greatness of humility. Desire of Ages, page 650. Time is a funny thing. You ask a sports fanatic about their team that is losing, and they will quickly say, "Don't worry, there's always next year." You see, God gives us opportunities to serve others and to help others, not next time, not next year. You see, what if Jesus said, next time I'll die for you? Would that work? No. What if Jesus said, next time I'll take care of your need? I think right now is a good time, if you ask me. Later doesn't really work. This past week, somebody was telling me of something that God was impressing on their heart, and they said, Pastor, I feel like God is impressing on me martyrdom. I said, martyrdom? They said, yes, martyrdom. I said, I think it's nice that you're alive, and I hope it stays that way for a while. And they said, I feel like maybe God is telling me that there's a part of me that needs to die. A part of me that is getting in the way of me serving others. The Bible says, choose you what day? This day whom you will serve. If you're looking for someone to serve, how about the person next to you? If you're looking for someone to serve, how about the person in front of you and behind you? You might be thinking, well, they don't need anything. They don't have a sign. Well, guess what? Who cares? True greatness is found in humility. What will we give today? Jesus gave thanks because he was going to die. Jesus gave thanks because he was going to serve us. My question is, whom will we serve? Not tomorrow, not next month, not next Sabbath. Who will we serve today? Because my Bible tells me it is still better to give than receive.